he had retired behind his pillar, and there it was that he listened, looked, and enjoyed. It pains us to relate, this first ecstasy was very soon disturbed. The door of the reserved gallery, which had until then been so inopportunely shut, inopportunely opened, and the stentorian voice of the usher abruptly announced, "His Eminence, the Cardinal of Bourbon!" The Flemish embassy made its appearance in the gallery behind the cardinal. The bailiff advanced to the edge of the gallery and shouted, after procuring silence by a motion of his hand, "Townsmen, householders, and inhabitants! To satisfy those who will that the play should begin again, and those who will that it should continue, His Eminence orders that it shall go on." The characters on the stage accordingly took up their text where they had left off, and Gringoire hoped that at least the remainder of his composition would be listened to. This hope, however, was soon dispelled, like the rest of his illusions. The actors were going on bravely, when one of the Flemish party rose suddenly, and Gringoire heard him deliver, in the midst of the universal attention to his piece, this abominable harangue.
"Monsieur the citizens and squires of Paris, by the holy rood, I know not what we be doing here. I do indeed see, down in that corner upon that stage, some people who look as if they wanted to fight. I know not whether that be what ye call a mystery, but I know that it is not amusing. This is not what I was told it was to be. I had been promised a feast of fools with an election of the Lord of Misrule. We at Ghent, too, have our fool's pope, and in that, by the rood, we're behind nobody. But we do thus. A mob comes together, as here, for instance, then each in his turn goes and puts his head through a hole and makes faces at the others. He who makes the ugliest face, according to general acclamation, is chosen pope. That's our way, and it's very diverting. Shall we make your pope after the fashion of my country?"
Gringoire would fain have replied, but amazement, resentment, and indignation deprived him of utterance. Besides, the motion was received with such enthusiasm by those townsfolk, flattered at being called squires, that all resistance would have been unavailing. All he could do now was to go with the stream. In the twinkling of any eye, everything was ready for putting the idea into execution. Townspeople, students, and clerks had all set themselves to work. The small chapel, situated opposite to the marble table, was fixed upon to be the scene of the grimaces. The glass, being broken out of one of the divisions of the pretty rose-shaped window over the doorway, left free a circle of stone through which it was agreed that the candidates should pass their heads. The grimaces commenced. The first face appeared at the hole, then a second face, and a third succeeded, then another, the spectators each time laughing and stamping their feet with delight. The scene became more and more Flemish.